This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday as we go cruising right along into the weekend. We'll put out something dumb Ketanji Brown Jackson said yet again here. We'll get back to the questions. All kinds of fun still to be had in the final hour. Well, this lady sits on the Supreme Court.
What keeps you up at night?
I would say the state of our democracy.
The right selects its Supreme Court judges. And we want originalists and people who will dispassionately interpret the law and things like that. And all that's fine and right and good. The communists select warriors, revolutionaries, reliable people. That's why one day you wake up and Amy Coney Barrett voted the right way. And then the next 10 days you find out she screwed you over. And then you can't figure out what's coming. Anyway. Jesse, if you had the power to reset the government, what date would you reset it to make things better? And follow-up question, you can put any president, and in that, or you can, well, anyway, I don't know what he's saying with that last one, but, okay, so he's saying, when was the government the way it should be? So here's the lamest answer in the world, but it is true. The original form of government we had was the best one and the most limited one. And government grew every single day after that. If you were looking at one of those charts where it goes up and it's down and it's up and it's down, on a macro level, since our country's formation, the government has only gotten bigger and more evil. That's not really debatable. So if I had to pick any date, it'd be the first one. But here's the thing about that. That graph you have in your mind of the government getting bigger, more evil, bigger, more evil, bigger, more evil, until now you have what we have now. That graph is reflective of us. It's not just that the government got bigger and more evil over time. We, the American people, not each and every one of us, but we, the American people, we cared less and less. We lost our way in our personal lives more and more. We started to rely on the government for things that people in old times would never have relied on the government for. I'll tell you what, here's a good example of it. You want to have a good example of it? Let me ask you something. You know about those horrible Texas floods. I don't even want to think about it. Honestly, Aub and I can't even discuss it. Just the pain would be unimaginable of losing your child, sending your baby girl off to church camp and losing her. It's awful. And we've talked about the heroism in the wake of it. But let me ask you, you don't have to answer. What do you think about the federal government sending aid? What do you think about the federal government sending aid to Texas in the wake of those floods? Now, I asked an incredibly uncomfortable question on purpose, because if you said or thought, again, you don't need to say it, but if you thought, well, yeah, I mean, those poor people, those poor families, poor Texas, those poor towns, the government should send aid. Did you know that if I could rewind back to right when this country was formed, the late 1700s. Let's call it the year 1790. And I made you a politician. And you took that position. You would not only be voted out of office, there's a chance you would be arrested, tarred, and feathered for that position you just took on the Texas floods. Did you know that? The federal government does not have a role in disaster relief. Did you know that? And should not. How did it get politicized? How did we end up? Remember that Hurricane Helen aftermath where we had that evil communist witch with FEMA skipping over homes with Trump flags? You let the government get involved. You let the federal government take over it. And yes, story. And yes, Chris, that is a story from way back then. A true story where there was a terrible fire. I believe it was in Georgetown. And the thought, the suggestion was we should use some federal funds for a Virginia fire. And there was outrage across the country. What? Federal funds? That's not your money. That's up to the state to handle that stuff. You don't get to take our money and go put out fires with it. So maybe when I said we the people have changed and it is directly correlated to the size and strength of the government, maybe that applies to all of us, doesn't it? We look at sad pictures on the news and sad stories and we say to ourselves, man, we got to get involved. We got to get Trump down there. Where's FEMA? Write a check. That's not the federal government's job. And shouldn't be the federal government's job. And to kind of piggyback off that point, the incredible work that has been done in the wake of Hurricane Helen, in the wake of that terrible flood, almost all of it has been done by private citizens and private charities. Did you know that? Federal government doesn't do squat. Shows up, screws everything up, disorganized, bunch of morons work there. Private citizens, just like you. Private organizations, wonderful charities. There's a million that I could name right now. Just like you and the ones you contribute to, they're the ones who step in and do good. We don't want the federal government there. We don't need the federal government there. FEMA shouldn't even exist. And you know who would agree with me? Every single man who signed the Declaration of Independence. Every single one of them. Jesse, love your show. Appreciate how you take the news and convey it to us working folks. When do you think working class people are going to get a break from taxes? Is it coming at the end of the year, our paycheck? Ugh, man, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I was just Debbie Downer. But let me give it to you because it's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. You're not going to ever see a significant break in your taxes because the federal government won't stop spending money, and the federal government won't stop spending money because the American people don't care when the federal government spends a lot of money and they don't vote politicians out of office. Politicians, Democrat and Republican, they are not voted out of office for spending too much money. Therefore, they continue to spend too much money. We have now buried ourselves $37 trillion in debt as a country. Therefore, we don't have to put a number on it. Working class people, rich people, everyone in between, nobody is going to see a significant tax cut. You may get a percentage here, a no taxes on tips thing there. They'll shave a little here and shave a little there. If you are ever looking for substantial tax relief from the federal government, you and I should have protested harder when they spent $1 trillion day after day after day after day after day. Our federal government still spends at COVID levels. During COVID, when we got a virus, we decided to start spending as if we were fighting World War III, which alone is it's crazy. But either way, we haven't gone back. COVID isn't even a thing anymore. And the federal government looked around and said, wow, I kind of like this budget. I think I'll keep it. And you know how many politicians have been voted out of office for it? Not one. Not a single one. Tax relief went bye-bye long ago. Both parties running up the deficit, running up the debt, while normal people suffer. Jesse, you're pretty worldly. Why do some guys wear sleeveless t-shirts like wife beaters? What is the point? Your pits are dripping sweat left and right, yet I see guys wearing them alone as a top, and I see guys wearing them under as a dress shirt. Why not a crew type shirt or something like that? Okay, why do guys wear wife beaters? Look, let's not stereotype all guys. All right, stereotypes are bad. You're talking about Italians, all right? That's what you're talking about. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some history there of wanting to show off the gold chains. Maybe a longer shirt gets caught in their arm hair. I have no earthly idea. We don't need to stereotype all men. Let's just stereotype Italians, okay? All right. Now let me talk to you about finding a good employee. Because as you've seen from this show, it's virtually impossible. My people are so bad, they edit audio to make me look bad.
They haven't moved one inch on it.
It's amazing, honestly. Do you want employees who would never do that to you? You have to go to ZipRecruiter to find good employees. I didn't, and look how I suffer. Look how you suffer for it. ZipRecruiter is the place employers prefer the most, and that's because employees prefer it the most. I'm not asking you to give ZipRecruiter, give them a year and they'll find you somebody. 80% of employers find somebody on day one. That employee you're looking for to end your headaches at the office, they're already there. As you listen to the sound of my voice, they're sitting right there. Why don't you try it free? ZipRecruiter will match you up. Let their matching technology handle it. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. How about this one? Jesse, throughout my life, when I would hear people talk about McCarthy, the McCarthy communist purge of the 50s, they would speak about it in dark, sinister tones as if it were a black mark on American history. Part of me wonders if we should have another McCarthy purge of our government and culture, or would that be an attack on free speech? Let's talk about that. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, where you can still email us your questions, your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Guy emails in and says, McCarthy, the communist purge in the 50s. He was always taught that it was this dark, sinister thing. And should we do another one of those? Or is that an attack on free speech? Well, do you know why you were always taught it's a dark, sinister thing? You were taught that McCarthy's communist purge was a dark, sinister thing for the exact same reason your school teacher spent a month telling you how evil Hitler was and 2 minutes on Mao. Remember this. Our education system is run by communists. And our education system will protect communists at any cost. So when they're presenting history, look, it's not hard to present Hitler as a bad guy. He's a freaking evil demon. Mao killed way more people than Hitler did. In fact, so did Stalin. Stalin was slaughtering people in the bloodlands before Hitler and the Nazis ever even got there. Did you know that? You didn't, did you? You know why you didn't? Because your teacher, who was taught by communists herself, she understood that we really can't dwell on the evils of communism of the past. Let's just talk about Hitler. Chris said, I don't even think they mentioned Mao or Stalin. Of course they didn't. No, they didn't. There's only one bad guy in history, Adolf Hitler. No one else ever existed. Of course. Why do they all talk about McCarthy in these hushed tones? Oh, that's McCarthyism. You ever heard that term? This is just McCarthyism. Why? Because they don't want to be exposed. Because for them, aggressively purging communists from government life would mean a threat to them and their way of life. That's why McCarthy is always taught about like he's some evil, sinister villain. Because McCarthy And by the way, McCarthy was far from a perfect human being. I get that. But when McCarthy said communists are infecting Hollywood and academia and journalism, we should really do something about this, and government, he was 100% right about all that. They were. And the Soviet Union was very focused about infiltrating all these things. We know now from the histories, McCarthy was right about every single freaking thing. The reason your teacher teaches you that he was some evil guy is because your teacher's a communist too. And a communist purge, a purge of communists, would mean your teacher would be in trouble. That's why. And your teacher's a communist because your teacher was taught by communists. That's another good point, Chris. There's a chance your teacher, in fact, there's a very good chance, your teacher doesn't know she's a communist. Did you know that? I actually write about this in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, which is available at jessekellybook.com, that communists, when they got here, when they infected academia, they taught a generation in communism. But then that generation went on to teach another generation, and then another generation, and then another generation. And you know what? Yeah, Chris, play some Yuri. Play this. Listen to Yuri Bezmenov talk about the infiltration of the West. Go ahead.
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivnye meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before.
You can stop it. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans. The Democrat in your life, when they say they're not a communist, they probably believe it. They were taught by a communist who also didn't know that's what they were. And they were taught by a communist who also didn't know what they were. And they were taught by a communist who also didn't know that was what they were. But they were taught by a communist who did know that's what they were. Now, they think they're progressive. I'm a liberal. I'm a Democrat. I'm not a communist. That's a dirty word. No, you are. And deep down, they know it. That's why any form of anti-communism, they immediately get suspicious of. Remember that. Why doesn't Trump want to destroy the FBI? Someone wants to know. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. This next question is going to be interesting, revealing. I don't know. It might even make you mad. I don't care. But let's dig into it as we continue to roll into the weekend. Jesse, Trump has been abused by our government agencies more than anyone. They tried to frame him as a Russian agent. They hid crimes from his political opponent and election fraud during his reelection. They even raided his home and had him arrested. Why hasn't Trump made it his personal mission to destroy the FBI and intel agencies after what they've done to him? All right. So At first, I'm going to say something that's going to sound like I'm actually criticizing him when I'm not. I'm fine with criticizing him, as you know, but that is not what I'm about to say here. And then we'll get to something that sounds like a compliment, and it kind of is. First, when a system of government turns evil and corrupt, the people who live under that system of government will cry out for change. They will want it to change. They will want something different. And because the people want something different, men will begin to rise and assume the leadership position. I am your champion. I am the one who will take on this evil system. I am the one who will right all the wrongs. Get behind me. Let's march together. Follow me. Sometimes those men, I should note, are very well-intentioned, brave, wonderful men. Sometimes they're just evil opportunists who don't believe it, but that doesn't matter for the purpose of our conversation. What does matter is the first one the people select. You see this over and over and over again in history. But the first one the people select, he is almost always the weakest and the dumbest. And when I say dumbest, I'm not talking about intelligence, really. Meaning, he is not quite as nasty as he needs to be to take on an evil, corrupt system. And because he's really the first and he deserves all the credit for that, he is going to get tripped up and torpedoed by that evil system in ways that nobody could possibly see coming. Therefore, what happens is after he gets smashed, after he's finally gone, the next one who comes after him will be meaner and smarter because he will have learned from watching the first guy. Oh, wait a minute. They did that to the first guy? Oh, well, I'm going to have to be meaner than that. Oh, I'm smarter. I figured out those guys are the bad guys. In fact, I would argue that Donald Trump's second term is the second guy. Have you noticed? There aren't any more leaks out of the White House. Have you noticed? It was a story. I forget how many people. The State Department just fired 1,300 people. Donald Trump told every government agency, be prepared for mass firings. Who is this guy? We didn't have this guy the first term. Donald Trump did some great things the first term, but he got torpedoed and kneecapped by every organization. But what happened? He got abused, arrested, almost killed. Guess what? He came back meaner and smarter. But still, he's not the last guy. He's the first guy. Or the way I just said it, he's the second guy. Donald Trump still believes in an FBI. Comes from an older, more traditional generation. And the older you are, probably the more affinity you're going to have for institutions, even ones that have turned evil, because they weren't really evil for most of your life. Why hasn't he made it his mission to destroy the FBI? He's not that guy. The next guy may be. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be the one after him. But Trump is the first and deserves all the credit in the world for that. That's one. Now, that is the part I thought you might find insulting. Remember, if you're offended, I really don't care. The second part, this is a compliment to him. But maybe it's not really. The first guy, the first leader the people choose to fight against an evil system, even though he won't succeed in cleaning it up completely, there's always a Gaius Marius before you get to a Julius Caesar. The first guy may not succeed in cleaning up the system completely. He probably won't. He rarely does. But he will weaken it enough for the next guy to do more good than he did. I'll use a boxing analogy. People who've never boxed at all, sometimes it can be confusing. Why do they ever hit each other in the body? I mean, after all, you don't knock someone out by hitting them in the ribs, right? You should hit people in the head. That's where you can knock them out. Punch them in the face. Why are you even bothering all these body shots? Body shots after body shots after body shots. Why are you doing this? Well, when you do that, you do a couple different things. One, it hurts to get punched in the ribs. Those defenses where you've got your gloves up by your face, they can start to lower the more shots you take in the ribs, and it hurts and it hurts and it hurts, and your hands start to lower, setting you up for that knockout blow. And it takes away your wind. You don't have the same stamina when you've had your midsection rocked like that over and over and over again. The first guy, Donald Trump, whatever Donald Trump was able to accomplish with his second 4 years and last 4 years, it won't be the knockout blow. We've talked about that before. He's not the final guy. But he will and is taking steps to get those hands a little lower, weaken them, break them down a little, so eventually in the final rounds, whoever the final guy is that comes can land that knockout blow. He's taking on a system that is more powerful than he is. Remember that. Remember that the system was built by evil men over decades specifically to be more powerful than the president, more powerful than the Senate, more powerful than the House. The system was built to withstand political change. Frankly, the system was built to withstand you and what you want. The system knew that eventually people would get tired of all this evil and get tired of all this corruption. And so what do? If you're an evil person, you don't decide you're going to stop doing evil. That's not in your nature. You make preparations. You prepare for the day that comes where the people have had enough. You can call it the swamp or the deep state or the blob or whatever word you want to put on the gigantic federal government system, but it's beyond just the federal government. The university system works with them. Social media works with them. Hollywood works with them. The system, the big evil system, is more powerful than the office of the presidency. Remember, I'm not going to ask you to play it. Don't pull it up, Chris, but remember that clip we played for you so many times where Christopher Wray, remember Chuck Grassley, he's the big cheese on the Senate Judiciary Committee. That might be the most powerful committee in the House or Senate. In fact, it probably is. Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, is underneath the Judiciary Committee. And Christopher Wray sat in front of Chuck Grassley. And Chuck Grassley said, hey, we have a lot more questions. We need you to stay and answer them. And Christopher Wray said, sorry, I'm in a hurry. I got to go catch a flight. And he was going on vacation. He looked at someone who's supposedly his boss and said, hey, can you wrap it up? I got a Mai Tai waiting with my name on it right now. Who's really in charge? All right, one more segment, and we're checking out. You have pain. What hurts on your body? Something hurts. We all have something, especially as we get older. Something breaks down, stops working the way it should. What hurts on you? Relief Factor is incredible. It is miraculous, and maybe my favorite thing about it is it's drug-free. You know, you should beware of anything that says, hey, that's this pain. Take one of these. Pain will be gone in 20 minutes. Do you think that's good for you? Relief Factor is a supplement developed by doctors, but it's 100% drug-free. What it does, it's got a unique formula. It builds up in your system, and your body, the longer you take it, will fight the inflammation better than it ever has. You're going to wake up one day, and your knee's not going to hurt anymore. Your wrist is going to stop hurting. Your neck, your back. Just try it for 3 weeks. If your pain is just where it was after 3 weeks, just don't order anymore. That's all you're going to order is 3 weeks of it. It's $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, I'm not going to be here on Monday, and as much as I would love to blame the suits or Chris, this is all on me. I'm sorry. I'll be back Tuesday. If you miss me while I'm gone, go download the podcast, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you want to email me and yell at me, that's fine too. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, did you or any of your fellow Marines have any superstitious beliefs, especially related to your tour of duty and combat experience abroad? For instance, just to name one of several, during my tour of duty in Vietnam, more than a few of my fellow grunts believed that there's a bullet with my name on it when we went out in the field beating the bush on search and destroy missions. For one, I just love you, Vietnam guys, man. I am so honored that veterans listen to the show. Guys who are still in listen to the show, veterans listen to the show. I'm honored. One. Two, there's a bullet with my name on it. This is a concept that was widely spread in Vietnam, but the general concept behind it, I've read World War II books with that same concept behind it. There's a bullet with my name on it, or none of the bullets had my name on it. What is it? And do we have something similar? Yeah. Here's what it was and what it is and what it always will be. In combat, sometimes things don't make sense. Why did I live and he didn't? Why did the grenade land over there and not over here? Why did my best friend's Humvee blow up in front of me and not mine? If they'd waited another 2 seconds, it would have been mine instead of his. We both stood up at the same time. He got shot. I didn't. It all feels, I was going to say unfair, but unjust and wrong and confusing. And also, we don't like the feeling that we lack control. That no matter how hard we train or how tough we are or how tough our friends are, if you get hit with an AK-47 round, you're going to die. It sucks. So the idea that, well, if it's my time, it's my time. That's what it means. It's not just true in the biblical sense, meaning you're not going to leave this earth a minute before God's ready for you to. But that aside, in combat, it helps you cope. It does me no good to sit in stress. It does me no good to sit and twist myself into knots over it, because either there's a bullet with my name on it next time we go out, or there's not a bullet with my name on it the next time we go out. And you know what I can do about that? Nothing. It's a way of letting it go. It's not in my control, so I'm letting it go, and I'm not stressing over it. That's what it is, and yes, we had it, and everyone has it. By the way, I'll give you one little tradition we had. I don't know if it's a superstition, but it was a tradition. You ever seen the movie Last of the Mohicans? Great movie. I'm told it's a great book, but I don't read. No, I'm kidding. It's a great book. But it's a great movie. It's got a great soundtrack. Chris, you wouldn't like it. There aren't any words on the songs. It's a great soundtrack. And one of the songs in Last of the Mohicans, we loved that movie. It was one of the few movies we had before the DVDs got scratched up in Kuwait. So we watched it a bunch. We didn't have options, okay? But we loved that movie. And you know, it's about warriors and fighting and things like that. There's a song, and I think the song is called Promenatory. I may not be pronouncing that right, but I know it's something along those lines. Shut up, Chris. That's the name of the song. I didn't name the song. Promenatory. I don't know. I went to community college. Before we would go out on patrol, we would gather around. We would load our magazines, put on what you had to put on, pray if you had to pray, and we would play that song. So there. Little tradition. Now, let's talk about something better than all this heavy, ugly combat stuff. Let me talk to you about your dog. About having your dog longer. What if you could sign up right now, just sign on a piece of paper for an extra year with your dog? Would you? We all would. I'll tell you, that's how I look at Rough Greens. Fred is five. He's right around five. And he's a golden doodle. Not a designer dog, but he's a golden doodle. And so we've got him for about half his life. You get about 10 out of those, and then they leave. We're trying for 11. That's why we sprinkle rough greens on his food. Actual nutrition, live vitamins and minerals and omega oils and antioxidants, and we see such a difference in Fred. Definitely his coat and his breath. Hasn't done anything for his intelligence, but there's nothing you can do about that. Do you want your dog to live longer? Call him for a free Jumpstart trial bag and start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now...
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Menu Whisper. We have a chain here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama called Freddy's. I'm not sure where they're headquartered, but they have shoestring fries you so crave. We have Freddy's all over Texas. I think it's called Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burger. The steak burgers are cheeseburgers are delicious. The fries are even better. And here's a little tidbit. You know how I tell you you can use any general seasoning in my world-famous cheeseburgers? And you can. You know what the best one I found is? Freddy's. They sell it. I can buy it on Amazon. You can buy Freddy's seasoning. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Jesse, looking forward to your kamikaze history lesson. I wonder if they were the first suicide bombers in history. Are the strategies... No. Now, having guys commit suicide on purpose is historically not common. And it's not because other armies were moral or something like that. It's because when you have your guy kill himself on purpose, you're reducing the size of your force on purpose. It's better if you find a different way. So, no, it's not the first at all. But also, no, it's not that common. And when they were discussing the kamikaze program in Japan, and it was highly debated, which we'll go over during our history episode when I get to it, it was debated. One of the main debates against it was, wait a minute, we don't have that many pilots. We're going to take the pilots we're training and just throw them away? That's not a very good use of the pilots we have. That was part of the debate. Now, I'm going to leave you until Tuesday. It's my fault. I'll explain when I get back, but I'm going to leave you until Tuesday. Keep your chin up. We'll keep our eyes on this FBI Pam Bondi thing, but put your phone down and enjoy your weekend now, all right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.